Blog Talk Radio.
Shamikis got bust in the face.
Welcome to the war room. We got Dead, Kill, Jimmy, PJ, B. Austin, a hot block commander.
How you wanna end a 1 or 2 hour show to get the brain running with the premise to talk sports on a national level? Roll with the topic, sorta like the rubber. When it's game time, they like the Fab Five during prime time. Sports conglomerates speak their minds a little bit. For sports medicine, sports veterans and greats. The 4 for 26, so the war in Kuwait. It's the war room with 5 knights at the round table. 5 Philly guys, diversified and educated.
Yes, sir. What's good, sports fans? The Generals are back with you, so that can only mean one thing. You are once again live in the War Room, brought to you by War Room Sports on the WRS Podcast Network. I'm Devin McMillan, and I'm joined at the round table, as I am every week, by Jimmy the Blueprint Williams and B. Austin. NFL preseason is upon us. There's been some big breaks and also some bad breaks in the world of sports this week, so we're going to discuss them all. But look, y'all got to do us a favor. Join us right now in the JW Philly Realty chat room at blogtalkradio.com/thewarroom, or join us on Facebook or Twitter at War Room Sports so you can discuss them with us as well. You can also call in directly when we open up the Digital Extreme Tech hotline. That number, as usual, 323-410-0012. But before we get started, we got to remind you, like we always do, to check out the great shows on the War Room Sports Podcast Network. You can get in there from our main site at warroomsports.com, or you can go directly to the network at wrspn.com. You'll find shows such as our show, of course, The War Room, The Broad Street Line with hosts Roy Burton and Chris Domingo, Tissue in the Tape, that's our hip-hop show with Phil Wilson and Savai Davis, After Further Review with The Mayor, The Season Ticket with Mojo and the Fellas, and a whole lot more. You can also check the listings at fatsradio.com. That's phatzradio.com, because all of our sports shows are syndicated over there. So you can check their listings for the airtimes of your favorite WRSPN sports shows, including our show again, which is on Sundays and Tuesdays at 3 p.m. But what's good, Generals? I heard about your boy, D-Wade. I heard he going to make Gabby an honest woman at the end of the month.
Yeah.
Anybody mad?
Yeah.
Anybody mad?
Don't
bang with Gabby
like
that.
No, I mean, I ain't mad at it. Salute to them, man. That's a good thing.
Yeah. They had a little save the date video. I'm pretty sure it wasn't supposed to leak like worldwide on the internet, but maybe it was. You know, these guys kind of like attention.
That's a little video. Some of the videos you've seen the celebrities leaking.
True that. Their save the date video, for the people who didn't see it, it had footage of the proposal, and his two sons and his nephew, the one that he takes care of, they were involved in the proposal and the whole save the date thing. So, yeah, it was cool, but, you know, it's kind of like about time. They've already been on the covers of black magazines as a family, and that really wasn't the case.
They do the family thing first, and then they get to the marriage.
Yeah.
No doubt.
How you
and
doing?
Then the way he take a 20-second time out, go have another kid, and then pop the question.
Yeah,
but I feel you.
Test the Yanni first. But yo, yo, man, it's a lot of topics to talk about while they were on the grind this week, man. Y'all ready to jump into that?
Let's do that. Let's do
what I do.
Cool. Absolutely. While you are on the line, it's brought to you by DirecTV. If you'd like a better TV experience than cable has to offer, including the NFL Sunday Ticket, go to our website, warroomsports.com. Click on that DirecTV logo and order a better TV experience at a discounted Warroom Sports sign-up rate. DirecTV has all sports, baseball, basketball, football, boxing, whatever it is, you can go right to DirecTV and get it from Warroom Sports. Gentlemen, there's so many stories, man. Let's just jump right into them. The Mets Stadium had a giveaway, right? So they give away toys to the kids, you know, we salute that. But the trucks had the Phillies logo on it. What's going on, y'all?
Somebody got canned for that. I don't know.
That's a rival. It's not just another team, it's your rival.
The Phillies are our daddies.
You know what, though? Because this story, it was confusing to me because, you know, there was one particular one that got tweeted all around. And when I did some further research, I don't know if this was damage control after the fact, but earlier today I was reading and they were trying to make it seem like the one that the guy tweeted was the only one that had that mistake on it. And then I saw an addendum to that same article saying that the exact same thing happened at a Phillies giveaway of the same truck like a week or two
ago.
Well,
we don't believe you. We need more people.
They said that the Phillies joint had the Mets logo on the front of the truck. So I don't know what to believe. I don't know if it was a mass distribution of bad trucks or was it just the one that the person tweeted. So who knows, man.
Yeah.
Either
man.
Way.
Either way, it's embarrassing, and the fact that it is the Mets, we will make fun of it. So FOH to you, the Mets, because that's what we do. You
and,
know what I'm saying?
Whoever, whoever made that mistake, come on, dude. You know what it is. You should be ashamed of yourself. The way you carry
yourself. Absolutely. We got one story in. And we have one JoJo Award. Let's move on. Raunchy photos of the married Cowboys owner Jerry Jones have surfaced. He looked like he was going through some inappropriate behavior with some young Myras. We've all seen the pictures. They've floated all on the internet. We got a good laugh out of them. But what did you think about that?
We got the pictures. If you need to see them, facebook.com/thewarroom. Probably on our Instagram pages too. At War Room Sports. It's funny. I mean, it's funny to see it. I mean, because on one photo, he's like caressing the joint from the backside and had his hands on her breast. Another joint, he got a little young tender, kneeling down like she either just finished or was about to do something strange for a piece of change. But, you know, you see an old dude like that, it's just funny because, first of all, he's an old dude, but I'm not mad at Jerry Jones. There's a lot of people out there, especially if you're fans of, you know, Washington, Philly, or New York. And, well, just about everybody else hates the Cowboys as well. You know, everybody wants to take shots. But how can I get mad at an old dude for having some young chicks? I mean, it's very inappropriate since he is married. But, I can't be mad at him, though. You know, Jerry's a boss.
He's be
doing boss things.
Well, I'll give you my opinion. I thought it was hilarious. I'm not one of these people who try to, like, you know, push my moral standards on other people, so I just laughed at it. It was very interesting. His face is hilarious. And, like, the young ladies, man, like, they must ain't had no fathers at home. Who knows what's going on with them? But, yo, you're in the – like, they were in the bathroom, for Christ's sake. Like, really? So, you know, shout out to Jerry Jones, man, because we slander him a lot for his decisions in terms of running the Cowboys and whatnot, but I can't even give him a JoJo Award for this. I thought it was funny, yo. I got a good laugh out of it, man. And Jerry Jones knows how to keep the Cowboys relevant and, you know, have everyone talk about them all year long, yo. So I think this is part of it because I'm
yo,
a conspiracy theorist.
I'm kind of with Jimmy on this one, and it does happen, you know, about every 15th episode, we do agree. How can you be mad at a man with billions of dollars doing what he's supposed to do with young international tender chicken hawks? I mean, he's doing what he's supposed to do, and he's keeping the Cowboys relevant. Their play on the field isn't.
This is true. This is true.
So,
I mean, there's nothing
you know,
we can say about this, man. He can't even get a joke.
It's a nasty.
Yeah, I mean, maybe we can give them a JoJo Award, but, man, what's the difference, though, man? They was trying to get a piece of change, man. Leave them alone, man. Shout out to all the Myers out there who support our movement, man. And I know a lot of people are shocked, but no JoJo Award for Jerry, man. Let Jerry live, man. Here's another story for you, gentlemen. Let's see what you guys think about this. Adam Pac-Man Jones, who's always in the news and a lot of times is not for his play on the field, he threatened the rapper Ludacris over Instagram due to Ludacris posting a photo, which was a joke, and it, part of the joke had a picture of Pac-Man Jones with a neck brace on. So, he called him the P-word and said he's going to see him and a whole bunch of tough talk. What do you guys think about that?
Wasn't it something like he, because I saw it briefly when you sent it to me, wasn't it like it was dudes with women on their shoulders, but it was one dude with a really big woman on his shoulders, and you couldn't see the face of the dude. And then on the split, the other half of the photo, he had Pac-Man with his neck brace on. I don't understand, if you're Adam Jones in this situation, why you don't laugh hysterically at that. Like, why do you get serious enough to threaten a man, tell him you're going to whoop his whatever when you see him?
Yeah.
I don't get why is he sensitive about that?
And I got the answer to that. A lot of these dudes are noodles. They're cornballs who have some athletic talent, a little bit more than most, and have been put in a privileged position that we think of, you know, historically or traditionally as being a quote-unquote cool guy or the jock. But they're really not cool. They're not cool. They don't understand how to be cool. They don't understand how to respond to things in a witty and debonair manner. So they just lose their cool and pop off at any. I hope that Ludacris is able to find Adam Pac-Man Jones and punch him really hard on the upper lip right beneath the nose. And that's my hope for his response.
All right, here's my perspective. My perspective is
Pac-Man's a noodle.
I don't know Pac-Man Jones, you know what I'm saying, but I have seen him in interviews, and he doesn't come off as, like, you know, being one of the brightest brothers. I don't even think he got the joke. I just think he saw his picture in the meme and he didn't like it. And, you know, he's one of those guys who thinks he's tough anyway. So, you know, I think a lot of times people think they're coming off as tough guys, but they really are playing themselves. You look like a clown, B. Like, it's a joke. Like, chill regular. Like, you know what I mean? Like, so you're not coming off as looking tough. You're coming off as looking, you know, kind of lame. So, you know, step your life game
kinda
up.
Kind of sweet. Kind of soft. Soft dudes get angry at little things. Girly man.
Yeah, this is true. So, I mean, gentlemen, are you in agreement that Adam Pac-Man Jones?
You should be ashamed of yourself. The way you carry yourself.
Well,
yeah, definitely.
I for one, you know, we've been doing this, conquering the sports world for about going on 5 years now, and Adam Pac-Man Jones is one of those dudes. You don't even have to ask me. You don't have to tell me the story. He's always eligible. Like, he's up there with Adrian Bronner, you know, Floyd. He's always eligible.
Understood. We should call it the Josh Gordon Award at this point, because he's trying to, like, make that his award. But anyway,
right.
Let's move on, though. Let's talk about it seems as though our sports news is coming from TMZ lately, but, you know, that's what it is with sports. Nicole Murphy was caught canoodling with Jimmy Jackson, the former NBA legend Jimmy Jackson, if I could call him that. Let's say the Ohio State legend Jimmy Jackson.
This story got funny immediately.
Prior to her split with Michael Strahan. Now, a lot of people, when they broke up, said that Michael Strahan was cheating and he was the reason for the divorce. But then pictures leaked of her, and, you know, she was very, very intimate with Jimmy Jackson in the pictures that I saw. What do you guys think about her? Like, I mean, the thing is she plays no games. You know, her name is Nicole Murphy, and she wasn't born Nicole Murphy. That's Devin's guy's name.
Yo,
so.
Y'all know I'm kind of partial to the heavily melanated sisters, but Nicole has a very exotic look, and I can understand why men kind of fall head over heels at least for one romp in the hay. So I'm not mad at Jim Jackson for still extending his groupie powers, because Jim had a good run with the groupies for not being, you know, a superstar player. Like, I always kind of measure an NBA player's ability to pull Jones by the number of points he scores or his stature on the All-NBA team. And Jim overstepped his bounds in terms of points per game with the ladies. Go ahead, Jimmy.
Will's numbers are crazy, but I don't see Kareem as someone who, you know, had a mean pool game when it came to the, you know.
He was exception, but he was the exception. Like, he
okay,
was a
okay. I don't see him walking away with a lot of tender chicken hawks. You know, but with that being said, man, like, yo, she plays no game. She's, like, on to the next one, and her moisture must be amazing because – These guys know her history, and they don't care. Like, my man is, like, just out with her. He's not creeping. He's out.
Yeah, I mean, and the thing is, this was around the time. See, Austin said he don't have a problem with I mean, I got a problem with Jim Jackson because you're in that, you know, I mean, I'm not, they probably don't know each other. It might not be cool, but you're semi-famous. Michael Strahan is famous. You know that's his wife. They're not divorced yet. And around this time when this supposedly happened, this was the time that that Nicole Murphy was publicly questioning whether or not Michael Strahan was cheating on her. So it got real messy. Bottom line, when it happened, her and Michael hadn't said that they were splitting yet. So Jim Jackson, you know, you're not some poor dude who...
Yeah.
Who's gonna get one shot at this? You can wait.
All right. So now let's take it somewhere else. Then, like, who do you consider Dev to be, like, you know, that chick for you, that you've probably even talked to your wife about, like, yo, she's that chick. She's my hall pass.
No, I got too many of them.
You got too many. Just give me one though. Give me one name.
Dev. Dev, as your attorney, I advise you not to answer that question.
I said someone that's so high up on his list, he's already talked to his wife about it. That's what I'm saying. Like, someone
it
who everybody
matter.
Knows.
It doesn't. See, Dev, this brother does not have a wife, so he doesn't understand yet, and it doesn't matter. That's still ground. There's nothing. This is a no-win question. Don't answer.
Understood.
My wife don't listen to the show anyway.
All right, well, let's just say it's – how do you feel about Scarlett Johansson?
Ooh.
I can have it.
I'm all pro black.
I've always been a Nia Long dude.
Okay, well, Nia Long. Then let's just take Nia Long. Let's take Nia Long. Also, I know I got to find me a charcoal sister for you. But
it would be Sanaa Lathan, but a thumbs. I can't.
Thumbs,
I
yo.
Can't
she got the worst thumbs in the world.
Yeah.
For those who don't know what we're talking about, Google Sanaa Lathan's thumbs. That makes her lose like 3 points right there. But yo, all right, so Nia Long offers you the moisture, and she's like in a way out of a divorce, right? Like, do you just say no? I gotta wait till it's finalized. Like, what do you do?
I mean, see, I think it's different if you're just regular dudes. You're like, I don't know that dude. I don't know who that dude
you're
is.
Saying because, you're saying
I'm pretty sure
Jackson,
they've been
in
the same circles before. And like I said, Jim Jackson. If we're talking hypothetically, I'm a dude like Jim Jackson. I can wait. Like, I'm not poor. So, you know, once y'all get that done, I can fly you back out to Hawaii or wherever, and you know, we can do what we got to do.
I don't know. I look at it a little different because I don't think that the money even matters. Like, yo, because these dudes feel the same way we do. Like, he's like, yo, this is my opportunity. I'm taking it.
Mike, a defensive end, and he got a gap in his teeth that's big enough to, like, if he was trying to eat somebody, he could just do it.
But basically what Nicole Murphy is accusing Michael of doing is saying that Michael's going around telling chicks, all right, I'm going to show you my gap, and you show me your gap. She got tired of that.
She actually said, B. Austin, that, you know, she just took the trip with her girls and happened to run into Jim Jackson at the, you know, in the cabana. At the beach.
I don't had trips with
allegedly.
This happened to run into me, and then they ran into me.
Allegedly.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah, man, I'm just saying, man. All I know is regardless of their stature or their money, man, they're still men at the end of the day, and, you know, they're going to act as men would act, you know? So,
Nicole Murphy is an exotic-looking piece of femininity.
Yo, plus Caspi's still trying to smash. She's like, yo, I smashed Eddie's wife, even though she ain't married to Eddie. They don't care. Yo, that's real talk, though. Real talk.
And then Eddie be like, yeah, I smashed their homeboy. Oh, my bad.
Yo!
Wow.
All right, I'm chilling. Yo, let's move on, yo. Let's talk about Old Face, Greg Oden. Greg Oden was arrested for misdemeanor battery charges for allegedly
Ray Rice,
he punched a woman in the face. Considering what happened to Ray Rice, all the controversy surrounding Ray Rice, what's wrong with this old guy?
Yo. The pressure's getting to him.
Yeah, I mean, she probably teased him about that. being picked up in free agency. I don't know, man. This is just stupid. Like you said, with all the media scrutiny surrounding Ray Rice and, you know, Stephen A. Smith just for saying something about Ray Rice. You know, he ain't even hit nobody, and he's suspended. It's weird. You know, it's like, control yourself, man. I mean, the police said that he was very apologetic at the time of booking and basically, you know, told them things got out of control. He said, but I know what I did, so I know what I have to deal with. So he seemed apologetic, but that's really not going to let you off the hook when it's,
no,
you know, when it's sentencing time.
Yeah, I don't care, big.
Like, anybody trying to hear, any small decision you make can have a huge effect on your life, and he has to understand that.
Dude is 7'2", so it takes like a special. There's only a handful of women in the world that can punch him in the face if he's standing up. So like, I'm trying to figure out, like, he could just physically restrain a chick from even, like, he would never have to get so angry that he would punch her in the, like, I, come on, Greg.
And this is his ex-girlfriend, and he says during an argument in which things got out of control, he swung his arms to break free of two people holding him back and punched his ex-girlfriend. So, first of all, if they were holding you back, then you were trying to get at her violently anyway. So
he was trying to fly,
because why does somebody have to hold you back?
We don't believe you, old faith Andre.
Yo, I'm glad we got a couple comments in our chat room. Shout out to Anthony Harris. A reference to our last story. He said, Chris Rock says a man is only as faithful as his options. And also, the stage of sports. Shout out to you, good brother. Greg Oden punched a woman because he's just trying to be relevant again. You know what I mean? He's following the Jerry Jones method of marketing his brand, but I don't think he wants that kind of marketing. I don't think he wants that kind of relevance either, because he's already known as a guy who can't play because he's, you know, old and arthritis and old face, and now you beat women.
And he can't get suspended, though, because he doesn't have anybody to suspend him. Yeah. So.
Yeah. More or less, man. Anyway, man, all I got to say to you old face dude, man, is this.
You should be ashamed of yourself.
Real quick, this is a breaking story that I want to talk to you guys about.
Old man really tried to take you out.
Neil, bro.
Oh,
old bastard. Anyway, listen, and for those who don't catch that, you'll step your movie game up. Listen, Dan Le Batard, he tried to play a joke on LeBron Raymond James. So he got a billboard put in Akron, Ohio that says, you're welcome, LeBron, love Miami, with the pictures of the two championship rings. Remember, this is a billboard. ESPN caught wind of this and suspended him. He said he's going to be out there for 3 days. They said his recent stunt does not reflect ESPN standards and brand. Additionally, we were not made aware of his plans in advance. He thought it was a funny joke.
I hate the world.
Okay, that's a nice commentary right there. Dev, what's your commentary?
First of all, I question if he really even did that, because if he did, it definitely was a joke, because I'm saying this because I listen to Dan Lebatard's show every day. And I listened today and he wasn't on there. Now I know why. that whole thing, you're welcome, LeBron, with the two rings and everything, that wasn't even his idea. Somebody tweeted them that idea, and he called last week just to see how much something like that would cost to put in the newspaper. He was just curious at how much it would cost. He had nothing to do with it. And this big smear campaign on Yahoo and a bunch of writers who were misquoting and saying a bunch of stuff and putting it on him, like, he was talking about this for like an hour and a half on his show, how, you know, he's the bad guy now and this wasn't even his idea. So I'm wondering if somebody ended up finding, you know, somebody to take the money to do this and it just got attached to him somehow, because I'm telling y'all, one show last week, he spent an hour and a half going off because everybody was trying to attribute this to him because he called And the people in Cleveland and Akron, they tried to, you know, act big and bad, like we wouldn't take his money because LeBron's our guy, this and that. And he, you know, he kept going off like, I never offered any money. I was just calling to see how much
Dan,
an ad like that would cost.
Dan
somebody gave me that idea.
Did not do
so I don't even know if he did this.
Suspended for it.
I don't
he
even
better
know.
Better have
he did
a lawsuit
this.
Teed up, yo.
Now, I know he and his co-hosts are crazy enough after all of that to maybe go out and do it as a joke since they were already putting it on him. But if he did, it's still not a suspendable offense. Like,
listen, man, it's,
no,
it's,
no,
I don't like bringing kind of stories up with my brother.
Did, it's funny.
Who thinks the whole world is off? But I mean,
no, it's a funny, joke. It's funny. Ha 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 ha.
LeBron,
yo,
man, you're not allowed to piss off LeBron, man. You know that.
All I'm saying is this, though. Like, I just don't know. Pretty soon, who we're going to be able to offend? You can't offend anybody. I don't,
so,
you know.
I'm going to tell y'all right
but
now.
If
that particular group ever were to come forward and do the right thing by us, and we happen to be on their network, y'all might as well just take me up and put me in the closet, like, and don't let me on the air. I can't.
I'm really interested to know whether or not he did this, Bielsa, because of
the
whole rant that he went on last week. I'm
curious
to know because you can't really
do fake out. He could have been doing all
really
that just to set up the whole move to do it.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying.
He
might have just went and did it just because, but. I'm interested to see if he really did it.
Well, listen, let's move on. We got birthday shout-outs in a couple seconds, but before we get to the birthday shout-outs, I have a question for you, gentlemen. Metal World Peace is back in the news, right? So,
yo, what happened to Peace?
All right, so this is what happened to Peace. Metal World Peace is allegedly changing his name to Panda Friend because he wants to play in China. That's an appropriate name. That's right. Panda Friend. He's going to allegedly, legally change his name again. You know, he went from Ron Artest to Metal World Peace, and now Panda Friend. Any comments before we move on, John?
I'd like to explain something. You know, I ain't punchy. I got what you call, like, I don't know, a relaxed brain, but I ain't punchy, you know. It's just...
He punchy.
Yo,
yeah.
I mean,
I like when
Ron
Artest,
being Ron. Man.
Mama named him Ron, and I'm going to call him Ron. I like when Ron Artest is in the NBA, not because he's essentially an elite defender anymore, which he once was, but because when, like, average or regular NBA players are around him, like, they're scared to really play their game because they don't know what he's going to do if they get off on. So they chill out and they relax. They take it easy.
When he leaves, they be playing again.
I'm going to score again.
In the grand scheme of sports, like, where does Ron Artest rank in terms of, like, just crazy personalities in the grand scheme of sports? I mean, he's not one. We all know who number one is.
He in the starting
but where is he
five. He's got to be top 10.
He's in the starting five.
In the starting five?
In the starting five.
In the starting five
of
crazy.
Sports or of basketball?
No, sports in general.
Sports in general, he's top 10. Basketball,
this,
he's top three.
This sounds weird, but Ron Artest is so crazy sometimes that it seems contrived, but I don't think it's really contrived. He's just so crazy that his teams can drive.
Oh, and before we get to the question, right, I know someone's going to say, well, who's the number one undisputed crazy guy in the history of sports? Like, that's easy.
I'm the most brutal and vicious and most ruthless champion there's ever been. There's no one can stop me. Lynx is a conqueror. No, I'm Alexander. He's no Alexander. I'm the best ever. There's never been anybody as ruthless. I'm Sonny Liston. I'm Jack Dempsey. There's no one like me. I'm from Nairclaw. There's no one that can match me. My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable. And I'm just ferocious. I want your heart. I want to eat his children. Praise be to Allah.
Yo, he's a very educated, crazy dude, though.
He's number one.
His vocabulary.
Clearly.
My vocabulary.
No debate.
Like that.
He's number one.
Yo,
anyway, man.
I'm gonna keep it to that point with Ron. Yo, and Dez, like, Ron's so crazy that now Ron doesn't want to be crazy anymore, and he does things to, like, soften his image and be a nice dude.
Still crazy.
And still comes off as crazy.
You already know. Shout out to Panda Friend. Let's get into these birthday shout-outs for our screen team.
Yeah, real quick. Birthdays are brought to you by Digital Extreme Technologies. Do you, your business or you You might need one yourself because some vain people out there. So do you or your business need a custom website? Well, for dynamic, professional, and most of all, affordable custom website solutions, you need Digital Extreme Technologies. No need to break the bank for an effective online presence, top-quality, results-driven websites at incredibly affordable prices. Even have financing options available. So visit digitalextremetech.com or call 267-205-4203. And for discounted rates, be sure to tell them War Room Sports sent you.
My birthday! Yay!
Yeah.
All right, birthday shout-out. Edgar Renteria turns 39 today. This is Philadelphia Eagles legend Chris T. Jones turns 43 today. And if you're an Eagles fan, then you know that I'm just being sarcastic right there. Hometown kid, hometown baller Alvin Williams turns 40. Max Kellerman, the fight guy, formerly of Around the Horn on ESPN, turns 41. Mike Greenberg of Mike and Mike turned 47 yesterday. And Dale Ellis, in my opinion, maybe the greatest sharpshooter in NBA history. And I don't just
say that's arguable.
Percentages. He turns 54. So shout out to all these fellas. Nice big War Room salute on their birthday.
It's my birthday. Yay!
Yo, real quick, though, before we get into you know, how to get in touch with us. It's got a, in our chat room, Anthony Harris also brings up the fact of Dennis Rodman has to be up there too, yo.
Yeah. Because when I said starting five, I was talking about basketball, but you did say sports. But in basketball, those guys are in my starting five. Ron Artest has to be the small forward. Dennis Rodman has to be your power forward. The rest is debatable.
Bryson Dele is at the five.
Yo, basketball got some crazy characters, yo, when you think about
it.
Anybody
found out with Tobias Roll Tide?
Maxwell at the two.
We got Fred Perdue waiting on the line to do his SEC and ACC preview real quick. So did anybody find out what Tobias wanted to rap about?
He just wanted to come on and talk general about, you know Tobias wants to talk about his teams, but you want to get him on real fast before we do Fred?
Yeah, we do that real quick.
All right, let's get him on. You want to do it right now before we do the media blast?
Yeah, before I do that.
No
doubt. What's going on? Roll Tide.
Tobias,
what's up, man? First, Roll Tide. Let me go ahead and tell Fred Alabama's going all the way this year, baby. That's all I got to say. But
he's about to give his predictions. He's about to give his predictions.
Hey, he's going to win easy. Hey, we already know Florida State going to ACC. It's kind of like Boise State back in the day. Who are they going to play as anybody worth a flip in the ACC? All right.
So my question is just Tobias, are you saying that Alabama will meet Florida State for the championship?
Who says Florida State's going to make it? Because you saw what happened last year. They ran up against a team that – see, that's what I'm saying.
Plus, it's a playoff.
He not want Auburn to lose, and I was happy about it. But you remember what happened when they had a team that was physically equal to Florida State? You had horses. Jameis didn't look like the creative player on Madden 25, didn't he?
Uh-oh.
So I'm just saying. But before y'all get to Fred, I got to hit this basketball real quick. I see everybody's on the hoop line talking about Kevin Love going to make the Cavaliers a favorite in the East. I say cool. Because I'm saying it right now. Kyrie Irving could tie Derrick Rose's shoes right now. We know it. But the thing that people don't want to hear is LeBron James is going to have to guard Derrick Rose in the playoffs again because you know why? Kyrie Irving couldn't guard a chair. Deion Waiters not going to want to know his role. And Kevin Love and Anna DeFerrick, don't get me wrong, I would love to have Kevin Love on my team. But
hey,
they have no rim protector to hide him.
LeBron James took the weight off, so he can guard the smaller players. That's one, two. Who says Derrick Rose is going to make it a whole season, though?
Who says Kevin Love and Kyrie going to make it a whole season? They've been hurt a lot, too, now.
I mean, yeah, but it's not
that's
the same. There's levels to this good brother. Derrick Rose played 10 games
in
the last, 3 years.
Hey, I'm just saying, one day he's going to be healthy. Hey, Blake Griffin's hurt again. Injuries are going to happen. Hey, but what I'm saying is that I can't predict health for anybody. We're talking about as is because
Heck, LeBron James could mess around, flip on a banana peel, and tear his knee up. You never know what happens.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
We can't predict health for anyone, but we can predict injury for Derrick Rose.
Hey, it's the same as predicting for Kyrie and Kevin Love, who missed a lot of action the past couple of games.
Hold on, Tobias. Let's just say injury aside. What you're saying right now is, as the rosters are staying healthy, you think that the Bulls have a better shot?
I think so. I think so because it is. I think the injury.
Hold on. Before you finish, everybody, he's a Chicago Bulls fan. So I don't know if you're being
objective.
But remember,
I have killed the Bulls a lot of times. I call you guys the phone, too, now.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do.
Yes. But what I'm saying is that the issues, I believe, with the Bulls is that now they don't have as many creators as Cleveland does. But the thing is, a couple things people aren't mentioning here, besides LeBron James and the guys, you know, his homeboys he brought over that carry his bags and stuff, these guys ain't been there. Like, these guys haven't been there. Most of these they got now the Love, the Kyrie, the Deion Waiters.
The things
haven't even played in a big regular season game.
The things that go against Cleveland are definitely age, experience, and the bigger moments.
Defense.
And maybe defense. Because they don't have a lot of defenders.
A rim protector.
But at the same time, they're playing in the Eastern Conference, so their shot is as good as anybody at the top of the East right now.
I
want to point this out. The game is definitely about scoring. No one respects defense more than us. But you're talking about in Cleveland, a team that literally has four starters capable of hanging 45 on you on any given night. Four. The Bulls don't have within their collective of five starters the capability of scoring 40. So,
here's my thing, Tobias. Here's my thing, right? I understand where you're coming from. I just don't know. Like, you may need more people. Here's why. Kevin Love, and I've bashed Kevin Love in the past because I watched him play, but I think now he's in a better situation. He's in a better situation because I've always said that his problem was he wasn't a number one. Now he doesn't have to be a number one. Now he can fall into his spot as a number two. And also, he's playing in the East now. His numbers are going to be ridiculous playing against those bigs out of the East. It's a whole different thing playing in the Eastern Conference versus the West. And he put up dumb numbers in the West, although they were meaningless. But now he's going to be playing for a team that's in contention. He can fall back and not have to put the pressure on himself of being like the face of the franchise. He's in a great spot, so I think he'll flourish. I just don't see the Bulls having enough firepower right now. Now, like you said, things may change. And unlike you, it's like, yo, Derrick Rose, fool me once, yo, and simple as that.
I'll say this before I go. I know you got Fred on the line, and hopefully Fred agrees with my Alabama pick. But the thing I'm looking at is, you know, yes, the question is, will Kevin Love get to operate like Kevin Love, or are they going to make him be like Chris Bosh? You know, that's the thing I want to see
that's
also.
That's a good point.
Because and Chris Bosh was a great defender also for his position. And so, and that's something that people forget also, because Kevin Love hit threes, but let's be honest, he ain't Craig Hodges. So that's something else also. And how will Kyrie react to, like, playing off the ball? And I believe this, Deion Waiters should come off the bench and be the next Jamal Crawford. That's how I think they could win it all. But that's, I know you got Fred, but you guys take it easy, man.
Hey,
right, roll tide.
Roll tide.
Yeah, he probably will come off the bench.
All right, easy. So I'm going to tell everybody how they can get in touch with us, and as soon as on the other side of that, we're going to talk to Fred Perdue about his SEC and ACC college football predictions. So y'all can check out our website at warroomsports.com. While you're there, be sure to sign up for the War Report. It's our weekly newsletter. Click on the Contact Us tab to send a message to us about our company, our show, or to inquire about sponsorship and advertising opportunities. For general inquiries, email us at info@warroomsports.com. While you're browsing the site, click on the memorabilia tab. Buy some War Room Sports merchandise. Help us out. Support. Click the blog tab to read our latest sports articles in the All's Fair in Sports and War blog. Then you can click the respective icons and tabs to like our Facebook page, to follow us on Twitter, subscribe to our iTunes podcast, to watch our videos at WarRoomSportsTV.com, to listen to our network at WRSPN.com, and to download our free War Room Sports mobile app to get everything I just mentioned on the go. Join the JW Philly Realty chat room right now during the show at blogtalkradio.com/thewarroom. To enter the chat room, just sign up for a free profile on Blog Talk Radio. If you don't want to do that, you can sign in with your Facebook or Twitter accounts. And while you're there, make sure you click follow. When you do that, you can get updates and reminders about the show. We'll be taking questions, reading posts from Facebook, Twitter, and the chat room during the show. If you want to call in and speak with us, dial the Digital Extreme Tech Hotline. That number is 323-410-0012. Press 1 when prompted. If you're already listening from your phone, just press 1 if you want to talk. But if you are going to call in, just try to make it after we finish with our guests. And right now we got Fred Perdue on the line, as we do every week during football season, college football season, of HeavyInTheGames.com. What's going on, Fred?
How you doing, fellas?
Tobias, our last caller, man, he wants to know if you rolling with the tide, man. But we'll let you get to that, because we'll let you do the ACC first, and we'll save the SEC for afterwards, unless you wanted to do it in a different order. But I know he's sticking around to see if you rolling with the tide.
I actually was listening in, and I have some opinions on that. But as well as the Kevin Love situation going on in Cleveland as well. But as far as the ACC is concerned, this conference has been discussed as one of the lower-tier conferences, but after a strong year by Florida State winning a national title, not really all that happy about it being a I'm not really, you know, quiet about it. I am a Miami Hurricane fan, and that just eats at me. But they did very well last year, and they built their team to be almost like an SEC team. They have the quarterback in Jameis Winston, who more than likely will be the number one overall pick as far as quarterbacks are concerned going into the 2015 draft. If he decides to come out, he is the top quarterback prospect. And quite frankly, I don't see anyone in that conference really challenging Florida State. You have Maryland leaving, going on to the Big Ten. You have Louisville a year removed after losing Teddy Bridgewater coming into the ACC. You have teams like Clemson losing big-time stars like Taj Boyd, Sammy Watkins, Martavis Bryant, returning a guy at defensive end in Vic Beasley, who could have came out and possibly been a first-round pick. But Florida State is the cream of the crop. Quite frankly, you have a defense that is very versatile and fast. You have a defense with a secondary that is – very unrivaled. You have P.J. Williams in the secondary at corner, Ronald Darby, Jalen Ramsey as well in the secondary. That secondary is just loaded. You have defensive linemen, Eddie Goldman, as well as Mario Edwards Jr., who was the number one pick, number one high school recruit a couple years ago, coming in as full-time starters. They have an offensive line coming back with just a myriad of talent from Cameron Irving, you have a tight end in Nick O'Leary, the grandson of Jack Nicklaus, actually. And got to say, he is one of the best tight ends I've seen blocking as well. And he's a very old school type of tight end. He actually doesn't even wear gloves. It's the biggest thing that – it was one of the biggest observations of him going in. It's very small, but he plays the game in such a physical manner. And when you have a running back like Carlos Williams, who was a former safety, who is just extremely explosive, coming over at running back, averaging anywhere between 6 to 8 yards a carry every time he touches the ball in limited carries, it's going to be very interesting to see what he does as a full-time starter. And in the Coastal Division with the ACC, it's just so wide open. I give the nod to Virginia Tech. They have a very manageable schedule. Miami hasn't really shown that they have the depth on defense or on the offensive line. They lost their quarterback in Stephen Morris to the NFL in graduation. And you have Kevin Olsen, the brother of tight end Greg Olsen, suspended for the first game of the season after failing a drug test. Miami really has a lot of issues to figure out going forward, especially also losing Ryan Williams, their quarterback, to an ACL injury. He may come back, he may not. But Miami has so many holes on defense and on offense to fill. They're kind of out of the picture. North Carolina doesn't have the offensive line. They have a quarterback change. They may be going with a dual quarterback system. You also have Duke, who won the Coastal last year, but do you really expect Duke to come back after losing their quarterback and losing a myriad of talent on defense? That is – the ACC Coastal is so wide open. Georgia Tech doesn't give you anything. They'll win their first five or six games against mediocre talent and then get blasted by someone and you'll forget all about them. So I give the nod to Florida State winning the ACC title game against Virginia Tech in late December.
Okay. All righty. So what about the other conference?
The SEC is going to be very wide open as far as the West is concerned. You have Alabama, who I have picked to go ahead and win that side of the division.
Roll Tide.
They actually get Florida State's backup quarterback in Jacob Coker, who the myth isn't – there was no myth. He actually challenged Jameis Winston going into last season. And I think he can give Alabama the strong arm, NFL first-round, maybe second-round type talent quarterback that they lacked. Yes, A.J. McCarron was a okay quarterback with a lot of talent around him. Greg McElroy was a game manager. But Jacob Coker has all the tools you want in a really great elite quarterback. He has the arm, he has the size. He's a little athletic, too. They have the running backs. They have Derrick Henry coming in as a sophomore who's about 6'3", 230 pounds. He's a load to bring down. You have Kenyon Drake, who may not even get on the field. He may or may not after some issues off the field. And you have T.J. Yeldon, another 6'2" running back, who is a bit of a bruiser too. The one big thing about Alabama is they actually brought in a new offensive coordinator after Doug Nussmeier went on to Michigan. They brought in Lane Kiffin, the former USC coach. And he's going to bring some creativity to that offense. He's going to bring some creativity because Alabama really doesn't use the tight ends. But they have a tight end you may want to watch. His name's O.J. Howard, one of the top recruits in the country coming out as a freshman. He got a chance to play as a freshman, made a big impact. Well, he's one of those – he reminds me a lot of Eric Ebron meets Gronk because he has the size. He's about 6'6", and he has hands, very good hands. And when you can catches over the middle – Nick Saban is a very happy person. The defense is going to be the question. Will they be able to hold off teams like LSU and Auburn? And Auburn, I think Auburn will actually contend again, but I think Alabama is going to want a lot of revenge. Nick Saban doesn't get mad over the losses. He gets mad over sloppy wins, believe that or not. He's really going to game plan for Auburn going forward. And I think with that, the mistake that he made last season, that won't happen again. Now, in the East, I have South Carolina. It was a very tough decision. Steve Spurrier just has shown the consistency that I've wanted to see for years going forward. He had Jadeveon Clowney and the rest of those guys. He took them to an 11-win season, but now you have to replace your quarterback. You have to replace a running back slash wide receiver slash athlete and Bruce Ellington, who actually also played on the basketball team. So that tells you how much of an athlete he is. But I think with the running game with Brandon Wiles, one of the best offensive lines in the SEC, I think South Carolina is going to be able to get over that hump and they're going to make it to the SEC title. The problem is they're going to run into an Alabama team that is very focused and ready to completely dominate. And like your previous caller, Tobias, said, Roll Tide, I'm taking Alabama to win the SEC.
Tobias is probably smiling, listening. But, yeah, but Tobias, if you're still listening, I see you, and I think you are. Fred's not going to do the predictions for you know, the whole season until he finishes the major conferences. So what are you going to what conferences are you going to give us next week?
I'm looking at right now, I'm looking at the Big Ten and the Big 12 going into next week.
All right. So before we get you out of here, you wanted to make a quick point about the Kevin Love situation? I know you're chomping at the bit.
Kevin Love is officially Chris Bosh 2.0. He can rebound, and he will play a little defense. I think Kevin Love is going to be a good addition. I did have a small theory, and I tweeted this out earlier today. I kind of wanted to see the Cavs maybe see what they could get out of Andrew Wiggins, see if he was worth keeping before they just went up and traded for Kevin Love. Because when you have a guard/forward that's 6'8", about 210 pounds, who can score, and he's going to be able to score when you have that kind of size. He kind of actually reminds me a little bit of Paul George early on. Maybe T-Mac was maybe. But when you have that kind of length and you can score, that gives you an element that you don't get in Deion Waiters. The only problem is Kyrie Irving. I don't know who he's going to guard. I really don't. And it's going to be an issue for them. That team isn't going to win. That team was not going to win a title early on, but LeBron felt like he could win things there, and he felt like he needed to leave. Congratulations, LeBron, and thank you, Dan Le Batard, for trolling me.
All right. Well, that was up, because we're going to talk about it in a few minutes so everybody can stick around and hear our thoughts on the whole thing. But, Fred, before we get you out of here, just tell everybody where they can find you on that net.
All right, guys, you can reach me at heavyinthegames.com, all the latest info from the preseason, NFL season coming up, college football season, rankings, Heisman, everything you want to know, go to heavyinthegames.com, and you can reach me on Twitter at FreddieSports.
All right.
Yo,
that's what's
Fred,
up, man.
This is B. Austin. Zach Randolph still can't go left, right?
You're not going to let me live that one down, huh?
No, good brother.
Never.
Thanks, Fred.
All right, guys. Holler at you later.
Take it easy.
All right.
Yeah,
all
we
right,
got
everybody.
Call
now, real quick, though, let's get into these hot topics real quick. We'll get to the call in a sec. Hot topics, Jimmy, who are they brought to the people by?
Hot topics are brought to you by Audible. If your schedule is too hectic to read as much as you want, try audiobooks and kick back and let someone else do the reading for you. All you have to do is visit Audible and sign up for a free trial at audibletrial.com/warroomsports. You can get your free audiobook. Listen, for those who've never tried audiobooks, you've got to try them. It's the best way to stay well-read, and that's important. And that's audibletrial.com/warroomsports. You can get a free one. So even if you don't want to, you know, stick with it, just try it and get a free one. I use this every day, damn near. Right now, I'm giving the sports books a rest. I'm actually listening to the book Divergent before I watch the movie. So anyway, audibletrial.com/warroomsports.
All right. Let's talk about the whole Paul George thing real quick, because shout out to Anthony Harris 1 in our chat room. He just alerted us to the news that Kevin Durant has actually withdrawn, or he's going to announce his withdrawal from Team USA, so he won't be a part of that World Cup team. And, of course, the early speculation goes towards him being, you know, afraid after seeing what happened to Paul George. He maintains, or his camp maintains, that it has nothing to do with that. So we'll see what they have to say. But the whole Paul George thing, man, we never got to really talk about it because it happened late last week during that intra-squad scrimmage, man. We don't have to talk about it for long because we didn't get any doctors on to talk about it, and I'm not interested in playing one. I just know that it was gruesome. It was nasty. It was along
gruesome.
The lines of, like, the wear injury from Louisville, but damn.
Yo, I just want to say this. I did see that Kevin Durant says that he needs to – his exact quote is, "I need to take a step back and just take some time away from the game." So, end quote. That's what he's saying. I don't know if it's Paul
George. Finish quote, because I just saw the most gruesome injury I've ever seen close up.
The funny thing is, I thought about that. The first thing I thought of is he got that new, you know, we're going to talk about this in a second, but his new deal, trying to spend some of that bread. But getting back to your original point about Paul George,
I think
one
he's trying to stay
things,
healthy so he can sign that contract.
I don't think it's one of those things, but that image
fine.
Of what happened to him will ever leave my head. It's sort of like you said, Kevin Ware. Even though I think Kevin Ware was, like, for some reason, maybe because he was in college, and the reaction of his teammates, like, Kevin Ware is probably up there. Like,
with Joe Theismann and Tim Crumry and a lot of these crazy injuries I've seen. This was gruesome itself, but Kevin Weirs was like, yo, the worst I've ever seen, yo.
Yeah, I mean, it's anytime you have a compound fracture, you know, and your leg snaps in an angle like that, it's just going to be gruesome. We do speak to some doctors on that kind of stuff, you know. We go bothering them as soon as we see things like this. And even though it looks more gruesome than a whole lot of other injuries, like a lot of people were speculating whether or not he missed the season. And I think he will miss the NBA season, but I think missing the season will be more because of the investment involved in him, not because he won't be healed, because actually a compound fracture, you heal from that like much faster than you heal from, say, an ACL. But, you know, tearing your ACL doesn't always look as nasty as a compound fracture. How he'll come back, you know, what level, you know, that's the part that we don't know. But it really, because that's the type of injury that they have to do surgery on immediately, set it back immediately, and then, you know, the recovery is only a few months. But to go back to being a world-class athlete, then, you know, that's a different story. So, you know, I wish him well. But that was the crazy thing that this Durant news came down, fellas, because one of the questions that we were going to talk about stemming from this whole Paul George thing was what effects was this going to have on USA basketball? Like, were guys going to be afraid to play? Not that this can't happen in an NBA game, in a pickup game, wherever, but the fact that they're, you know, these guys basically work for other teams and there are large investments out there on each and every one of these guys, and they may not think that this Team USA thing is worth it after seeing something like that, and it looks like that might be what we're seeing from Kevin Durant. Do you guys think that it'll affect Team USA or USA basketball in a big enough way for them to not be able to win all of these tournaments that they play in? Or do you think the players that they might keep is fine?
I think the players that they keep, with the players that they'll keep, they'll be fine. I think they'll be good enough to get a gold in this game. Obviously, when you lose the one of the top three players in the world, and then you lose another top 10 player in the world, it's going to have its effect. But I think that they have enough firepower to get through this tournament and win it. Now, in the long haul, with injuries like this, because what happens is people are followers, and athletes and their advisors are no different than any other group of human beings. So when they see something like this happen, then you see Kevin Durant leave. Then you have other people's advisors speculating on what made Kevin Durant leave, which we know is the fact that he saw this injury and he doesn't want to risk it. Then you've got other guys that are going to, you know, think similarly. So it could be a trickle-down effect. I wonder if it'll play a role in the next Olympics. But I think they'll have enough firepower this time out.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
I think a lot of guys that are already committed are going to be like, well, I would like to leave like he did, but we can't just leave him high and dry like that. So what do you think, Jeff?
Right.
I mean, I was going to say, there's nothing really too much I can say other than what B. Austin said. I think they still have enough talent to compete. You know, there won't be an issue. There really won't be an issue with the guys they have committed and with the guys they can reach back and get. I mean, we're still the best in terms of playing the game of basketball. And also, with the way they're running that team now, it's not like it was before where they just get together, you know, every couple years and, you know, guys drink beer and just play the game. They've actually
they just throw whoever out there.
Yeah, they've created a program. So I think the guys that are running it are smart enough that even if they don't have the cream of the crop, they have enough talent they can pick from and build a team the right way as opposed to just grabbing names. So I think they'll be fine.
Yeah, I agree with you guys, especially for the short run.
The fact that they build a team now.
I don't know about the long run, though, man. I think guys are going to start, you know, being more careful about, you know, what they do outside of their teams. But I don't know. It was crazy. You saw
those guys who were on the verge of stardom. You're going to have those guys who are on the verge of stardom who will look at this as a way
like
to
that.
Jump on this team and help
yeah.
their brand. You know what
yeah.
I mean? The guys that are, like, right on the verge of it. You know, so now that you won't have the LeBrons, the Durants, the guys who already have something
like
to protect.
Like the guys who got cut, like Bradley Beal, John Wall.
Exactly. Exactly. Those guys will
yeah.
be the guys that are like, look, I need this to get my name to the next level. So I
so
think they'll be fine. And, you know,
what are
the
Pacers
guys
going to look
program.
Like? What are the Pacers going to look like, man?
They're in trouble anyway.
They didn't get, you know, they lost Lance Stevenson. That could have been the best insurance policy that you know they could have had in a situation like this. They no longer have him. Paul George will probably miss the whole season. What are they going to look like?
They
may
Grunger.
Have money to spend to try to do something because they may have. I think they're going to get an injury exception on him and his, especially if he's going to miss the season, where his money won't count against the cap. So that's a good amount of money that you can go out and throw at somebody for 1 year. But who's still out there? That's the question.
Ain't nobody coming in. See, LeBron.
Yeah, that was going to be my question when you first brought the injury exception up. Like, I don't know who's going to come there.
Well, the thing is this.
Metal World Peace might come back.
Somebody will go there. They may not
Cleveland.
Necessarily be good, but they'll fill the roster at least.
With the exception of Cleveland, which was, pretty much the outlier. Cats don't come to run ball in the Midwest. They just don't do it. Like, you know, Chicago has been had money like the last several seasons to sign free agents. Nobody wants to go play in the Midwest. Like, yo, they want to play in big cities, even though Chicago is a big city, but that have nice weather. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, yo, nobody wants to play in the Midwest, B. It is what it is. The NBA.
So are you saying that it's because of Chief Keith and 300?
Trihana, yo, you might get murked out in Chicago, man. Yo, I love Chicago, by the way, for all my our Chicago listeners, yo. Y'all got, and I love Chicago for another reason, man. Y'all got some of the best food. But anyway, nobody
Chicago
wants
too.
To. Yeah, no
but
doubt.
But yeah, I mean, but if you think about it, that's definitely true because Chicago is an attractive market. So if Chicago can't get people to sign, then. You can kill
I've
it.
Never heard somebody
like
say, yo, I can't wait to go sign with the Milwaukee
Minnesota
Bucks.
And Milwaukee.
Minnesota, Milwaukee. Cleveland. Like, yo, it's cold down out there, B. Like, and
man, your man from Duke. Your man from Duke just said, I can't wait to sign with the Bucks.
That's only because he couldn't get drafted by the Bulls. I'm pretty sure if free agency come, he might go to Chicago.
The thing about Milwaukee and Chicago is, like, I've been to Milwaukee before, and everybody in Milwaukee is, like, you know, from Chicago and vice versa. Like, they're very close. I didn't realize
yeah.
that until I went
yeah.
there. Like, they're very, very close. So, it's you know,
know
it's like,
I
can't go to Chicago, Milwaukee's the next best thing. That's damn near like playing home.
All right, well, shout out to Paul George, man. Hope he recovers. Hope he comes back. Because the crazy part about it, you know, he's a rising star in this league, and to go through something like that. That's a hell of a setback, but shout out to him. He just purchased himself a little cheer me up gift, a little Ferrari 458 Italia. I'm sure you can't clutch and drive that for a while, but it's nice to look at when you're laying in the bed with your leg up. It's nice to look at. So yeah, that's unfortunate. But before we talk about the Spurs big hire, let's go ahead and get Jonathan Sanders on the line. He's been holding for a minute. John, what's going on? You in the war room, brother?
Hey, what's up, war room?
What's going on?
What up, though?
Yo, what's going on, Jonathan?
How everyone doing tonight?
I know
what's
you.
What's good,
man?
We got
shout out to Prescott Marshall.
I know.
I know
you.
Hold on, let me switch. I have y'all on Bluetooth. Let me get to this.
Okay. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, we hear you.
Yeah,
okay, a couple of things I want to talk about. Kevin Durant, you guys were talking about him opting out of the Team USA. 2 years
yeah,
from
the Team
now,
USA.
What's going on in 2 years with Kevin Durant?
I don't know. I think all the Washington Wizards talk is a little premature. It seems like everybody
No. I'm not saying go to the Wizards. I'm just saying his contract is up in 2 years, correct?
Yeah, and that's
right.
What I'm saying. I mean, a lot of people have him bolting and coming home, you know, once his contract
I don't see that at all.
Yeah, and I kind of thought that talk was a little premature. I'm not saying that there's not a chance, but it's like, okay, when LeBron does something, everybody expects everybody to follow suit, which, hey, it could happen, but I just don't
years,
know.
LeBron's contract is up, and Dwayne Wade's contract is up in 2 years. So you never know.
But Dwayne Wade, Dwayne Wade legs going
to be. He might not be walking in 2 years.
So Dwayne Wade better milk it for all he can. But,
I'm assuming for the business standpoint, that's why Kevin and his team decided to get him out. The second thing I wanted to talk to you guys about was it a year ago from today? How did you guys brought this up about the baseball scandal finally breaking through? The whole, was it Biogenesis?
Oh, Biogenesis and Bosch.
Oh, good. Biogenesis.
And all that stuff.
You know, A-Rod has never, ever, ever apologized or said anything along the lines of just apologize for his role in that scandal.
I don't think he should apologize.
You don't think he was involved? Okay, so where's your head at in that one?
Well, you know how everybody, they kind of soft over there. Apology would probably, I don't know. A-Rod, I was about to say get him back in good graces, but A-Rod, I think he's used up all of his good graces, so apologies wouldn't really do much. And when I say do much, I'm talking about his, like, Hall of Fame chances. Because if you guys notice, the guys who have eventually come clean, because I don't think anybody's just come clean without pressure or without rumors or anything, but the guys who come clean, yeah, they look at them a little bit differently, and a lot of those guys still have a chance to make the Hall of Fame. I don't think, at this point, A-Rod has already won, man. Look at the kind of money he's made in his career. If he doesn't make the Hall of Fame, I don't really think, you know, that's going to be the end of his life. So I don't think he will ever apologize. And if he does, it's going to be a last-ditch effort, and it's going to be too little too late, because it seemed like people like A-Rod, Bonds, they've been treated the worst in this whole steroid thing, and they kind of hate it. So
that's because they're men of color. But, yo, anyway, with that being said, it's also a situation where, like, the Hall of Fame to me is losing credibility, because to me it's always seemed as though, and I've said this on the show a gazillion times, it's the best of the best, and when you tell the story of the game, do these guys have to be mentioned? How can you tell the story without mentioning Barry Bonds? Or, you know, Roger Clemens or A-Rod.
Or A-Rod.
But that, I said his name. I did say his name.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, like, so to me, like, the Hall of Fame is kind of ruined, man. So, you know, FOH to the Hall of Fame.
Jonathan, one of the first things that we did when we established War Room Sports is determine that we're going to have our own Hall of Fame with our own Hall of Fame criteria, because you have people like Joe Dumars that kind of get into the Hall of Fame. No disrespect to Joe Dumars, but, you know,
set it off,
he's
talking
not
about
a
Joe.
Dominant Hall of Fame.
I can name a lot of people that shouldn't be in the Hall of Fame. Our Hall of Fame is going to celebrate those that have contributed to the game, the groupies, everybody. And by the way, my last point about your call, John. I think Kevin Durant probably is going home. Like, I'm a conspiracy theorist. That's going to be the new move. And in 10 years, the NBA is going to reinstate the territorial draft. Guys will have to stay home anyway, man. So, Kevin Durant, man, we're waiting for you. In 2 years, man. I'm going home to the place
where I belong. Where's your last point, John?
I actually do think Kevin Durant is coming home, too.
What is going on with Jerry? I can't even be mad at Jerry, man.
Jerry that dude, man. Jerry is that dude.
Yo,
I'm
Jerry
not mad at Jerry.
Jerry's what he's supposed to do with all that money.
Yeah, Jerry is just enjoying the fruits of his labor, man.
Is he married?
Yeah, he is married, though. So shame on you, Jerry.
Bad Jerry.
You know?
Bad Jerry.
Well, I hope he didn't sign on prenup. But then you have, and I was talking to a Cowboys fan about to get my job. And what I'm trying to get to is I hope he did not do something stupid and not sign a prenup before he got married. And I don't know if he already got that money before.
Jerry's wife know what it is, yo.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he's in one of those
understanding marriages where, you know, those type of, you know, dudes, when you're that rich and you've been married that long, it's just like, keep it out of the news. Don't get caught so I won't be embarrassed. She's probably a little embarrassed right now, but she ain't going nowhere.
She'll get over it.
Just like you see all this craziness playing out between the Sterlings, and they're in court battling each other. Come on, man. They chilling. They still good.
Man, leave Jerry alone. He's trying to get a little flirt. That's all, man. Anyway, man, listen, John, thanks for the call, man. And don't forget to hit us up, brother.
Hey, man, come on over to the right side, man. Don't be an Uncle Ruckus, man. Change the rest of your name, man.
All right, John. Take it easy.
All right, man.
Y'all take care, John. All right.
Yo, we got another call on the line.
Yo, just took that call from him being underneath the Pacific Ocean.
Oh, let's get the homie on. We got the homie, Divide, from the Tissue and the Tape podcast and the War Room Sports Network. San Antonio Spurs fan, what's going on, brother?
Hey, what's going on, man? How you guys doing?
We all right.
Brother, I'm a fan. You had
let that man cook. What's
good, brother?
Be awesome. What's good, man? What's up,
Dad? What's up, man? I'm
what's
sure.
going on, Savant?
Nothing much, man. I know you guys are gonna talk about the best sports franchise in the world, so I figured I'd call in real quick.
Oh, you
talk
actually.
About that.
You actually Catching right on time.
Illegal?
Yeah, you're right on time because that's just what we're about to talk about. And if everybody out there, if you've been, you know, sleeping under a rock somewhere, he's talking about the San Antonio Spurs have hired Becky Hammond, WNBA star Becky Hammond, as an assistant coach. And this is a historical move because she's going to get the credit for being the first full-time assistant female head coach in the NBA. There's been others. Lisa Boyer, she was an assistant coach with Cleveland back in like 2001-2002 when John Lucas was there. However, she was there under, you know, she was volunteering because at the time she was the head coach of the WNBA franchise in Cleveland. You know, a couple more people, they've done it like as an intern, but this is the first full-time hire, so survive. Since this is
she's
your
on
squad,
the payroll.
What are your opinions on the whole thing?
Well, she's been, you know, around the team for the past 16 months. Originally, the WNBA franchise that was there was the Silver Stars, and they were there to kind of accompany the Spurs, and then the Utah Jazz shared their building with the Utah Stars or whatever. So the Stars moved to San Antonio, the Silver Stars were disevolved, and basically what happened there was Becky Hammond was kind of in that circle. And anybody that knows anything about the WNBA in the past 15 years, she's been one of the brightest stars, and no pun intended, but she's been one of the brightest stars. And, just someone that had a wealth of knowledge, whether she was a female or not. So she's been hanging around Popovich's.
Six-time All-Star, I believe she might be like 10th in league history in scoring. A lot of people consider her a top 10 WNBA player of all time. Yeah,
did she make
a sandwich? She's a she make a sandwich.
Does she bake? Does she cook?
Fellas, this is what I want to ask you guys because, you know, her knowledge, you know, is all well and good. I don't think a lot of people are even questioning her basketball knowledge. Moving forward, you know, starting as an assistant, of course the questions start to be asked, like in the future, do you guys think that a female coach, you know, would ever be a head coach of an NBA team? So starting as an assistant like Becky Hammond, the question is, do you guys think that, you know, these men will respect taking, or I don't want to say orders, but, you know, taking instruction from a woman? Now, it's different because this is the San Antonio Spurs. They from all accounts, they have the Spurs way, and, you know, everybody respects Popovich to the utmost. And I don't think if there was going to be a franchise where this was going to be a problem, I don't think this would be the one. But if this started to become a trend, do you think there would be guys out there who would you know, kind of frown at taking instruction from a woman in the locker room and on the court.
Of course, there will be guys that will frown on it. There will be, but what's happening in society, gentlemen, for better or for worse, you know, 50 years from now, we'll probably see our first transgender president. And, you know, so the entire world is getting turned upside down.
This dude went from female coaching to transgender president of the United States.
It doesn't even matter
if there's an old school line of thinking where, you know, the only place for a woman was the kitchen and the bedroom. Like, so Becky Hammon is representing for the liberation of women's rights. And, pretty soon there will be no genders. It'll be complete.
All right, listen, here's my point.
Complete androgyny.
Here's my point. Salute to Becky Hammon. I think this is a big deal. I think a lot of times when things happen, we don't realize how big of a deal it is because it's just, you know, part of our lives. But when we look back at this, it will be a big deal. To answer your question, Dev, I think that initially I thought, like, you know, there's no way that a man would, you know, listen to a woman in terms of a coach. But Molly McGrath, or should I say Goldie Hawn in Wildcats, she showed me different. So after watching that movie several hundred times, I think it is possible. But it's going to be a nice hurdle because a lot of those guys, they're not going to want to hear that. You know what I mean? And I think it's going to have to start not at the NBA level. You have to see it at a younger age or a different level before it becomes more acceptable. It's not about just getting to the NBA when you have guys who've been your coaches and people you confide in for years, and then you get there as a woman. It's a completely different change. But it's going to happen at the high school level, the college level, little league, and things like that before it to really, you know, be effective, in my opinion.
Tavad, this is me. 10 years ago, would you have believed that you would have seen Michael Sam in the NFL?
Absolutely not. But
10 months ago.
Nah, 10 years ago, no way. Absolutely not. But
everything is being changed.
My thinking probably from a decade ago would be more so that I just wouldn't think that someone would be outing themselves or be actually be recognizing the fact that that's what their sexuality was. Not that it would be accepted.
Right.
Maybe, you know, but I just wouldn't imagine a football player or someone in sports to be able to express themselves like that and for it to be accepted. So that probably would have been my thinking.
I'm relating the whole Becky Hammon thing to that.
Sure.
Just to say that there's an overall change in the air
sure.
of society. And there was a time when from a just permissible, it's not even so much, okay, I can't take coaching from a woman, but, you know, a man's locker room is kind of a sacred place, but that level of sacredness really is gone. So a lot of the traditional gender roles that would inhibit a woman's forward progress in the sport, those barriers are coming down. There's a ton of people that still have that old school thinking, but, you know, the guys that are coming up that are, you know, maybe 10, 12 years old that will play for her 20 years from now if she ever makes it to the head coach or whoever it is that's a woman that will make it there, their line of thinking is going to be much different than ours or what we grew up under. You know, so I think that a lot of that is going away.
And I'm going to say this,
for
guys,
better or for worse.
I love what you're doing. I just wanted to say this real quick, and I'll get off the line. If Mike Brown can coach three different NBA teams, Becky Hammon can be an assistant coach on my team.
That's funny, though, because he's
from the Spurs family tree, too.
Because Anthony Harris, one in our chat room, said if Eric Spoelstra can be a head coach, a woman can.
Two-time champion, too, though.
He just Spoelstra. But Mike Brown can't coach at all.
I agree with that. And he's coached three teams, and he coached one team twice. So that just tells you that right there. Jimmy, you're a Lakers fan, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, so, I mean, you know about Mike Brown well.
Listen, you can go back and listen to this. I'm not going to get into my feelings about Mike Brown, Paul, but They aren't good. Let's just keep it there.
Yeah,
but
if
I gave you a choice between Becky Hammon coaching the Lakers tomorrow or Mike Brown, I think you might take Becky Hammon, man.
Yo, that's don't force me to answer that because I'm going to go a whole different way.
Oh, okay. Well,
I
won't do that then.
But for different reasons, though. Let's put it that way.
I understand, man. But, War Room Sports Podcast Network, team member, excited to hear you guys every Thursday. And Tissue in the Tape Podcast, everyone tune in. Listen
to the Tape.
Big things on the way, still to come.
Yes, sir. Hey, last thing, right, Survive, man. Let that man cook, man.
Oh, man, don't start that, man.
All right, take it easy, homie.
Free Jay Electronica. Free him. Where are
you? All right, take care, good brother.
All right, man, later.
Yo, right, Jay Electronica has been co-opted by the Illuminati.
Yo, man.
All right.
I released
my
own Jay Electronica album today, man. Let that man cook. Anyway, with that being said, man.
So we haven't given our thoughts on the whole Kevin Love to Cleveland thing. So let's do that real quick. We do know that the trade has been done in principle. Of course, they can't actually do it for another, I think, 16 days or so because Wiggins signed and you couldn't trade him for 30 days after you signed. The deal is going to send Bennett and Wiggins and a first-round pick, I believe, in 2015 to the Wolves. And it's going to send Kevin Love to Cleveland. Now, there was rumors about this deal the other day where the Philadelphia 76ers were supposed to get involved with Thaddeus Young ending up in Minnesota and Bennett actually ending up in Philadelphia. Doesn't seem like those rumors are going to come to fruition. I personally think, and there's been growing speculation, that this whole Cleveland-Minnesota deal was done at the time that LeBron announced that he was going to Cleveland. Because I don't know if you guys remember, but, you know, a lot of LeBron supporters tried to jump on the whole thing like, well, what you going to say now because he's not going to a team that's already stacked and this and that. And my whole thought then was, well, LeBron holds all the cards, so I don't really think he's going to go to a situation where he doesn't already know
easy.
That the team has something up their sleeve.
Yeah.
I kind of think that this was already
a done deal.
He doesn't
want the challenge.
And if you do some research and you read and look around, it's starting to look that way. And the whole Philadelphia 76ers thing might have been a smokescreen. Maybe because they can't get the deal done for another 16 days, Philly really did try to jump in on a deal that was already done and possibly was told FOH in the bigger scheme of things.
GTFOH.
But, do you guys believe that this may have been done already when LeBron first got there, first announced that he was going back to Cleveland?
I think that's the way of the world nowadays, and I definitely think that's the way LeBron and Maverick move. I don't think they would have made the move to Cleveland had they not been given the utmost assurance that Dan Gilbert would apologize in a secret Illuminati service behind closed doors. I don't think they would have made the move if they hadn't received assurances that Dan Gilbert was going to get his Prokhorov on in terms of spending above and beyond the salary cap. I think that LeBron already told him, look, I'm going to put the pressure on y'all, and I'm only going to sign for 2 years until, you know, the collective bargaining agreement gets redone, and I can stick y'all up to $32 million a season like Mike Jordan did. Because I deserve it. So I knew from Jump Street when he went to Cleveland that big things are gone, my youth, big things are gone. So I'm not surprised at all that the deal is done. LeBron doesn't want to run in a situation where he's by himself, so to speak. He doesn't want to be just the alpha male all alone. And now he's got, you know, a young Kyrie Irving who's going to learn to only get better. He's got Kevin Love to shoulder the burden a little bit for some years. Even, I know y'all are going to laugh, but PSP, hashtag, Deion Waiters, if he can ever get his head screwed on straight, Deion Waiters could be a very quality NBA player. I'm not talking all NBA team.
I don't think he's crazy. I don't think you're crazy. I agree.
I just think he's crazy.
Deion Waiters.
But he can ball.
You know, Deion Waiters is a heck of a talent. And if you move him to the bench, and he comes off with the second unit and you let him pull out the whole 100-shot clip, the ladder clip, oh, my gosh. So I think LeBron knew what he was doing and what he was getting into, and the personnel moves have been made to give him exactly what he wants, which is a stacked team, because society has changed to a point where they're not going to gauge him or judge him for stacking the deck. And, you know, who should be mad at him? He's not that competitive monster. He wants to be a
B. Austin finds a way to subliminally take shots. I love it. But listen, though, I think Kevin Love is in an ideal situation. To answer your question, though, I think this, I'm a conspiracy theorist, and I say that every week. I think this was done 2 years ago. This has been on the table. Even before they got Wiggins. Like, Wiggins was all part of it. Like, and Wiggins, too, by the way, man. Like, you came off real soft, Duke. You came off real Trez Vanny talking about, I just want a team that wants me. Yo, FOH, man. You just got drafted into, like, the greatest league in the world. And you walking around sounding real soft, Duke. That's all I want to say about that. But
They were overplaying that quote, because he said some stuff after that where, he cleaned it up. It didn't sound that soft, but they kind of stopped it right there. Because he was saying, like, I just want to play for somebody who wants me, but, it doesn't matter. He understands it's a part of the business or whatever. So he didn't sound as salty as those quotes made him sound. But
no, listen. I hear you, Dev, and I agree. I heard the whole thing, but I also, have seen him on Instagram, complaining about not having somewhere to play and teams not wanting him, man. So my thing to him is this, man. Like, now, here's the next thing, though. He's going to play for Minnesota. Now, what's the rookie contract? How many years is that?
Is it three or four? You can't opt out. I think it's four now.
All right, so he opts out in 4 years. He's going to be back with the Cavaliers as LeBron's ending his career. So, it's going to happen anyway. But
why would he go back there? I wouldn't go back there.
because Nike's going to cut the check for help him get LeBron a couple more chips. But anyway,
another indication that this was already a done deal. Remember in the letter,
He didn't mention
Bennett or Wiggins. So this was a done deal. He knew they weren't going to be on the team. So he mentioned them for what?
LeBron got to pick the team. It's not about competitive greatness. It's about whatever would get enough wins and chips to advance my brand as a businessman. I'm not a businessman. I'm a business. Man,
I think this right here. Here's what I honestly think. I honestly think a lot of this has been planned, and I also think that, LeBron has some smart people around him, and even the brands and corporations behind him are smart, because LeBron realized a little while ago. I may not catch Kobe. I may not catch Mike. In terms of the amount of championships, because there's a lot of good teams. Even though I'm the best player in the world, so. What I can do to keep this story going, if he goes back to Cleveland and just wins one title, I honestly believe in my heart of hearts that one title in Cleveland is worth about three more he would have won in Miami. In terms of telling his story.
Yo, this is three times in one episode, Jimmy. Woo! Yo, the end of the earth is coming. I agree. That narrative, the narrative of the prodigal son introduced into selling apparel, sneakers, and everything else, yo, he did it.
Think about it.
They did
one,
that.
One championship in Cleveland is the equivalent of like three more in Miami. I really believe that. So, it is what it is, man. I don't know, man.
Yo, if he wins more in Cleveland, they're going to say he's better than MJ, Magic, Kareem.
Yo, guess who tweeted that LeBron James is the best executive in the NBA?
He called him an executive, though?
He said LeBron James, best executive in the NBA. When you find out who it came from, you're going to be like, oh, well, that don't mean much. Isaiah Thomas tweeted that, the worst executive. He's just saying, because LeBron pulling off stuff that I couldn't dream of pulling off, and I had that Knicks money.
Yeah, that New York Knicks on LeBron, yo, it's probably partially true. Like, LeBron is really running,
yo,
you know.
James Dolan is trying to hire Isaiah again.
They're going to give LeBron an executive job while he's in the league. And shout out to LeBron for, you know, taking his craft that serious that he wants to lose weight. He's walking around looking like Andrew Beckett from Philadelphia right now.
I keep telling y'all, man. It's the photos, man. LeBron had a big-ass hat and them little
Dwayne
Wade
photos,
man.
Dev, it's not the photos.
That man's cheeks are sunk in.
Go to his Instagram and look at his pictures. Like, yo, that man,
LeBron on that crack diet.
He's looking like Andrew Beckett from Philadelphia towards the end of the movie. But, you know, he's taking his – listen, though, the man takes his career serious, man, because, you know, he better
LeBron
be working
trying to
shot.
Be like Kevin Durant instead of vice versa. Like maybe
yo.
Tarantula. He's trying to get in shape like the tarantula.
He heard through the wire – that Durant was getting that $30 million a year check from Under Armour.
I got to slim down.
Smoking crack.
What do you guys think about Kevin Durant moving over to Under Armour, allegedly, because the amount of chicken, basically, they offered to pay him? Because he got, what, 7 years,
yo,
$60 million
makes,
with
it
Nike?
It makes perfect
77 for 60
Brand
with
loyalty
Nike.
Aside. Yeah.
I'm pretty sure Nike was going
sense.
Up the ante,
no
but
idea.
Not that much.
They're gonna make a counter offer, and they're gonna try and negotiate and trade on brand equity. Whereas Under Armour's like, look, man, we just some little dudes from a garage in Maryland. We trying to get it. We need Kevin Durant. And if y'all recall, when he came out, everyone thought Kevin Durant was gonna be a good player, but no one thought he was gonna be second or third best player in the world. Good. So Under Armour's just rolling the dice on what they believe is potential. Huh?
Would you call him the what best player?
Second or third best player in the world.
Oh, okay. Who you got? I know LeBron, but who else you put up there with them two?
First of all, I'm tired of you arrogant Americans and everybody in the NBA. Whatever your rank is in the NBA, that's your rank in the world.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I'm totally
somebody
arrogant.
Is,
I can admit
that's
to
basically
it.
What it is.
It's somebody in the jungles of Africa that's better than LeBron,
true.
Better than Durant. He just ain't got no sneakers, and he
true.
Can't play on TV. But I hate when people say that. It might be true, but I hate when people say that. Best
shout
player on the planet.
Phil Knight,
every player on the planet.
Phil Knight will find
come on, man.
But yeah, back to what I was saying.
I say the
universe. The best player in the world.
Jimmy, take it farther. The Milky Way.
Hey, B. Austin, my question is, though, who's the other one? I know LeBron. Who else you got up there for you to say possibly third? Who the hell is number two if he ain't two?
You know who you're talking about.
Who?
Listen.
Y'all really don't know. I'm dead serious.
I'm Rob with the son of Michael Jordan.
Mm-hmm. I forgot he was in the NBA, and he's on my team.
Yeah, I get, listen.
Cool.
Anyway, I believe in what I've seen. I believe in what I've said.
Finish your point, though, good brother.
So until anyway, the point that I was making is that, you know,
kind of Derrick Rose
is
number two,
and our past, you know, whatever with Under Armour or with Nike. If you go from 7 years, $60 million, to 3 years, $90 million, or 4 years, $120 million, yo, it only makes sense, man. I have to take that check.
They talking 10 for 325.
Here's what I find interesting.
I know that
in the streets of Philadelphia, the kids in this area, they wear the KDs more than LeBron's. I saw the numbers in terms of LeBron outselling him, but
they do that down here too, Jimmy.
No, of course.
But from my standpoint, from what I've seen, I'm talking about literally seeing in the streets. And all that, like, yo, the KDs are very popular in terms of his sneaks with Nike. How that's going to translate over with his new sneaker with Under Armour, I don't know. What I wonder when I saw this is he taking all cash or is he going to set himself up like Mike did by getting equity? You know what I mean? Because is there equity involved? Because if so, that will make perfect sense, and that means the fix is also in for him to come home. I know people think that it's a joke, but everybody else will laugh.
Here's what I would do, Jimmy, and I'm giving Kevin Durant, if you're listening, because you is a good young boy, I know that, to be fat, If you're listening, I'm going to give you $1 trillion worth of game for free. If Nike counters back, my counter to Nike is equity. If Under Armour is offering me 30 for 10, I don't even know that I leverage that to get equity. I don't know.
Nike's established, Nike's valuation is what it is. Under Armour is not
right.
Nike. If he can get in at Under Armour with the
true.
Equity that he possibly can get, imagine where he can be if he can actually take that brand to the next level, specifically from a basketball standpoint. They have other athletes they already signed. But getting equity in them could be the move.
I don't think the upside for Under Armour is as high across the board in terms of other sports and lifestyle apparel. I think that
hold on. You don't think it's as high as upside potential? Because I mean, Nike's already the giant. Under Armour's the guy
Nike
coming up.
Nike is 90 billion in. They could lose half and still be triple Under Armour.
But that's my point.
That's
my point is
like,
they're established. They're there.
Mm-hmm.
Under Armour isn't. You
right.
don't think you could ride the wagon
right.
of someone that's up and coming to eventually get to the point of a Nike? Nike wasn't always a dominant figure.
I think you can ride that. I just don't see the same upside because I'm looking at other sports and other
when you,
places
when you,
in the
when
world
you look
outside
back,
of the
right,
US.
Like, when you look back and you talk about
that. Actually, I think basketball might be Under Armour's weakness, for real, because football is really,
honestly,
you know.
They're strong. But listen, if you look back, I remember reading in Michael Jordan's biography, right? He talks about how at the time when he signed with Nike, everybody thought kind of the same thing. Because, Reebok, Adidas were the biggest brands. He hitched himself to the up-and-coming thing when, at the time, they weren't
Converse.
Dominant at all. You know what I'm saying? So he made it, he rode that wave, so to speak. So I was just thinking about maybe, Kevin Durant, not calling him Michael Jordan or say that he'll have the same impact. But, listen, there's nothing wrong with jumping on that wave and riding it. Nike, you're not going to make Nike any bigger than they already are.
So, yeah, and plus Nike,
sure.
I think
that brand being established, the value is there. But go ahead, Jeff, you want to say something?
I was just going to say, at Nike, he's going to be another one of the faces with the, of course, LeBron leading the way as far as active players are concerned. Michael Jordan still leading the way, period. Just if he wants to do his own thing. And it's not just about doing your own thing and doing something that's from your home state. But that's a lot of damn money as well. Like, they're going to pay him over $30 million a year to do this, and I'm pretty sure he's going to be able to negotiate some equity in a growing company. I think that deal will be plenty. I mean, they may not turn out to be the next Nike. I would put my money on them not, but I still think
equity
in that company would make
Nike
him
is.
A very rich man. I still think it'll make
exactly.
him a very
that's my
rich
point.
Rich
even if they don't turn out to be what Nike is, because that's very difficult, that's like once in a lifetime, if they turn out to be one quarter of what Nike is and you have a significant stake in that, that's amazing.
Mm.
I think the potential is there, man. I think Durant is, he's falling back now, going to concentrate on his game.
And I think
the
kids wear his shoes because of the colors. I don't think they think they're nice looking.
I can't wear his shoes because they're basketball shoes, and for the most part, they're low top. Like, I don't get that.
Yo, they're really low top, too.
All
like,
he does is he's
they're like lower than low
top. He's down with the Gilbert Arenas movement.
Yeah, like, I just can't bang with that. Maybe I'm old school, man, but when I run rock, I'm saying I like to run with high tops, and I only play
that's
ball
why
with the monkey face.
That's why he dropped out of the Team USA. He like, I got to wait until they make my new shoes because if that happened to Paul George with high tops on, what's going to happen to
him? And, you never know. I mean, Dwayne Wade took the same sort of deal with Li Ning, got a bunch of equity, and, it didn't kind of pop. But I think Under Armour is different because they're already, looked at different within the States than a Li Ning or whatever dude's name is.
Under Armour already have their little Nike thing going because you know how Phil Knight went to Oregon, so that program gets taken care of. It's the same type,
Maryland.
Experimental type stuff
Maryland.
With Maryland because the CEO and founder of Under Armour went to Maryland. You see Maryland's football team get the funky uniforms every year. Some of them be ugly as
commercials.
Trash juice, but they're different. They get the commercials. They get they get a lot of stuff. So he's trying to do his little mini Nike thing over here on the East Coast.
There's nothing wrong with that. If you're going to imitate somebody, imitate the best. And
you're
going to
give
I
me 30
no
and equity, I'm with you. I wear some Under
Armour.
Yo,
he's probably getting half that 35 is equity. He's probably getting 15 and 15 in equity.
Hey.
Yeah, not Dez.
He'll be one of the biggest shareholders at Under Armour in a couple of years. Will be Kevin Durant.
He's the vice president.
He ain't going with no chip that he's going to stop playing. Like, I'm done. I ain't playing no more.
I ain't snapping my leg. Fuck that. I mean.
Yo. Anyway, man. Yo. What's up with your man Daniel Snyder,
yeah,
though, man?
I wanted to see if you fellas either read or see. Because he's doing, Daniel Snyder, the owner of the Washington professional football team, he's been doing his little media blitz in the last few days. And I actually heard one of the interviews in D.C. on Sports Radio in D.C. But he's saying the same stuff everywhere else. Outside the Lines are going to play his interview on September 2nd. He's been everywhere. Have you guys heard any of the quotes that he's saying? Because he's like defending this whole Redskins name thing. And I personally think that he thinks that we're stupid. And there's a lot of people, especially the fans of the actual franchise, who are backing what this man's saying. And it makes no sense because you guys already know the thing they've been trying to hold their hat by the last few years is, well, we have poll data that says 90% of Native Americans don't have any problem with the name Redskin. I found out that the poll that they're talking about was 768 people. That's the sample size. And now he's talking about how he's visited 20-plus Indian reservation, Native American reservations, and, you know, the people don't have a problem with it. And he's just started recently a foundation to help some of these people because he's talking about their unemployment rate. So, I mean, that kind of gives things away right there. Okay, you're visiting the ones that you have some kind of monetary dealings with. So what do you think they're going to say? And I'm pretty sure the leaders that you speak to, that one voice does not speak for the whole, reservation. And it definitely doesn't speak for every Native American in this country because if it was just cool, then you wouldn't have all this pushback. So, you know, I think he's real ignorant, and I think he thinks everybody else is stupid. And I have a real problem with this guy.
Well, having lived in the Washington, D.C. area since 1998 and UDev, I believe, since 1995 and 96, we have intimate experience with the Washington professional football team's fan base and its ownership. And we've seen, you know, Daniel Snyder. Jimmy, you may or may not be aware of this, but if you look at and compare Daniel Snyder to the other major owner in town, which is Ted Leonsis, it's a study in night and day. Ted Leonsis is like a real human being. I mean, shake your hand, talk to you, have a real conversation, even if he's not, you know, digging you and he wants you to get the hell out of his face, he's still a real human being. Daniel Snyder it's almost like he's not really from this planet. Like, he's so far, he has no regard or respect for other human beings. And I'm not even talking about the naming of the team thing. I'm just talking about the way that he treats his fans. Like, he literally treats them like they are human bodies in the Matrix system used as batteries to run his sports franchise. Like, he taxes the hell out of their parking. He taxes the hell out of their tickets. He taxes the hell out of their merchandise. He insults them, and they're gluttons for punishment because they're so thirsty for a sports team. Like, it's, I know all owners do this to an extent, but Daniel Snyder, and then he's completely unapproachable and inaccessible, so it makes it all the more worse, you know. So I'm completely with you already, Dev, because I know the type of man that he's proven to be as an owner before all of this came around. So to him, he's just fighting a battle for the sake of fighting a battle because it's something that he decided to hitch his wagon to. He's already a dickhead. That's my take.
Damn! All right, well, all I was going to say is this. He does – I don't know who he thinks he's talking to. Everybody isn't stupid. I mean, I think in the grand scheme of things, when we look back at this years from now, he's putting himself on the wrong side of history. And his legacy will be one that he, you know, his kids and everything will have to deal with. He thinks it's okay to fight for that now, but when he's looked back at from a historical standpoint, he's going to be looked at as a clown, a racist, a buffoon. And the thing is, I'm not even saying that he is racist, but this is how he's going to be looked at. So let him keep digging
perception.
His hole. Let him keep digging his hole. That's going to be the perception of him. You know, it's sort of like let's just take the Donald Sterling thing. And we all know Donald Sterling has a racist past. But even if he didn't, based upon what just happened with him, that's what he's going to be forever known as. You know, the guy that made the racist statement and got kicked out of the NBA, regardless of what he's done in his entire life and regardless of what he does now, you know, that's what he's known as. And Daniel Snyder, in my opinion, is putting himself on the wrong side of history. There's no doubt about it. The term Redskin is derogatory. If it was any other ethnic group, it wouldn't be allowed. The fact of the matter is Native Americans only make up, you know, less than 1%, like 0.2, like it's less than 1%, 0.2% of the population. So if people think they can bully them and do things like this. But, like I said, wait till history tells a story about Daniel Snyder. He's not going to like what happens. Just my opinion.
Let me read you real quick some of his quotes. He says, "It's just historical truth, and I'd like them to understand, as I think most do, that the name really means honor and respect." He said, like, "I think most do." Like, it seems like he's just talking over the Native American population and everybody who has their back. He's just talking over the ones who's opposed to the name like they don't exist. He's only going to tell you the people that he spoke to who think it's cool. But dude, you have to realize if there's pushback from a group of people, then you can't use the people that you're talking to as, you know, the only sample of what's going on here. Like, he knows this. That's why I find it insulting that I'm on the other end of the radio or the television listening to him, and he really thinks that he makes sense. He says, we sing hail to the Redskins. We don't say hurt anybody. We say hell to the Redskins, Braves on the warpath, fight for old D.C. A Redskin is a football player. A Redskin is our fans. The Washington Redskins fan base represents honor, represents respect, represents pride. And I think it's a positive. Taken out of context, you could take things out of context all over.
Red.
But in this particular case, it is what it is. It's very obvious. Like, it's very obvious that you're very disrespectful. But
that's like going to a KKK meeting and saying, "We're not racist, we're just like, you're playing to your crowd." Like, you know what I mean? Like,
right.
It's a joke, man. I don't know who he thinks he's talking to, man. And some of these Redskins fans, specifically the fans of color,
worst,
like
fundamentally, fundamentally, the name comes from calling someone a title or a term because of the color of their skin. That in and of itself has a negative connotation from jumpstart. Red skin.
Black skin. The black skin. The Boston
black
skin.
Like, because the example we always go to is like, you know, because like Jimmy just said, like, it's a lot of black people just because they're fans of the team who want to defend this. But think about it. The example we always go to is, okay, what if the team was called the niggas? But like y'all just said, you don't even have to go to nigger with it. You could just say, if the team was called the Blackskins, you can't tell me that you wouldn't be uncomfortable about that.
Listen, man, like, it's one thing, man. I understand that the term fan comes from fanatic, but at the end of the day, man, like, if this was my team, I would feel some type of way, because before I'm a fan of any team, I'm a man first, and I'm a black man first. So therefore, that comes before my allegiance to any team that's not putting a dollar in my pocket anyway. So some of these fans should really be ashamed of themselves and look in the mirror and realize that, yo, you're not even men. You're beyond a man. You're a scum. How can you agree with this? How can you agree with specifically being a man of color? Like, yo, and I know y'all going to hate this when you listen back on the replay, a lot of you Redskins fans. We do have a huge fan base within that area. But, yeah, you should be ashamed of yourself, yo. You're not even a man, because you let your love for your team cloud your judgment. Bunch of cowards. In fact, don't kill yourself.
Hold him back, man. Hold him back. Greg Oden.
Yo, tell him why you mad, son.
Tell him why you mad. Nah, but I definitely feel a little bit disrespected when he thinks that. I mean, like Jimmy, he's playing to his audience. And, I mean, it's not like we haven't noticed that a large population of the world is, you know,
sub IQ people, but I'm like, who's buying this? I'm looking around when he's talking to the people that were in the room with me, like, yo, any of you guys buying this? Because it sounds really silly. Sounds really, really silly.
Yeah.
All right, man, we got...
Deb just called y'all stupid.
Jimmy told y'all to kill yourself.
Yeah, man, I just get bothered by that, man, really, because the thing is, like, I sit back and just watch, and I don't comment a lot of times because I can't believe that people are saying this. I don't know if they're trolling when they, like, you know, but the way they defend it, I just don't get it. Like, you know, I understand loving your team. I love my teams, but it comes just to a certain point, man. I'm a man first before any of that BS. Anyway, man, let's talk a little football before we get out of here,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, let's just talk about this new contract. So get us into that, Jim.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Let's
we got like 5 minutes.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, NFL Rap is brought to you by Stitcher Smart Radio. Go get Stitcher and download The War Room, stitcher.com/The War Room. It's one word, T-H-E-W-A-R-R-O-O-M. Android, iPhone, get it and listen to The War Room. Real quick, let's talk about Andy Dalton getting that bread. 6 years, $115 million. What do you guys think about Andy Dalton breaking the bank, yo?
You know what? You have to look at how things are reported these days, and you can tell that something's not going to be right. When they reported this, just like when they reported Kaepernick's deal, they just reported to you the years and the amount of money. Now, we know
and the number.
When a football contract is just straight up and there's no trickery involved, they're going to tell you the years, the money, and the guarantees. You didn't find out about guarantees until like 3 days later because the guarantees basically had to be added up. You know, it wasn't just a straight-up basic guarantee. So this is like one of those Kaepernick contracts where Andy Dalton basically – it's like play as you go. You're basically
every
on a
year-to-year
thing.
Every
he's
year,
gonna
the
get,
guarantee sets at
yeah,
the beginning
gonna,
of the season.
He's
going to
get anywhere between – he's going to get anywhere between like $17 to $22 million guaranteed in this deal, which – you know, in the long run, compared to what quarterbacks have been breaking the bank with in the last few years, it's not that great of a guarantee. But for a quarterback like Andy Dalton, who, you know, when people saw these numbers, a lot of people dissing Andy Dalton, oh, he's mediocre, this and that. I don't think Andy Dalton is mediocre. I do think, you know, it's not even think. It's factual that Andy Dalton, his performance kind of decreases in the playoffs. To his credit, and to his team's credit, they have been in the playoffs every year since he took over, you know, the quarterback position there. But in the so-called bigger moments, you know, Andy Dalton has kind of not played up to par. Now, if you take it back to the regular season where, you know, most of your bread is earned because I like to quote or paraphrase something Jalen Rose said the other day when he was talking about, you know, LeBron James and championships and all that kind of stuff and how people think an athlete can't be great if he doesn't win championships. He says the fans and the media have basically dumbed down sports to the point where the regular season no longer matters. The only thing that matters is championships. And I agree with that wholeheartedly and think it's BS.
Yo, me and you had this argument in one of the groups the other day with somebody talking about, like, Wilt stats don't matter because they most of them were in a regular season.
Yeah, yeah. Like, they give you a regular season schedule for a reason. But there are no playoffs without the regular season, first of all. There are no championships without the regular season. But I just wanted to make the point that, I mean, I don't know how impressive this is to anybody out there, but Andy Dalton, in his first 3 years in the league, he's third in touchdown passes all time to Peyton Manning and Dan Marino, I believe. It's not a bank-breaking stat, but it's a pretty impressive stat. But he does kind of choke up his lunch in the playoffs a little bit. So him getting that type of deal where it's like, okay, you have to prove yourself year after year, I don't really mind that. But I don't think he's a mediocre quarterback like a lot of people are saying he is.
Yeah, and he, I mean,
so let me ask
it's all
you,
about
let
the market.
You, gentlemen, him or Cam, that's the comparison. It's always him or Cam Newton. Who do you take?
I'm taking Cam Newton. But here's the thing, though. shout out to our chat room again, Sage of Sports. So Kaepernick messed it up for every quarterback from now. Dalton won't see half of that money, and it's not even that much if he doesn't perform well. NFL non-guaranteed contract for the richest sport next to soccer on earth, but they also have the worst players union. I kind of agree with that point. Like, how did a union allow this to happen? I mean, the quarterback position used to be that position where it was like, you know, you're the golden boy. Even if you're not the cream of the crop, you would get paid. And it's like, these new contracts, like, what's going on?
Well,
I don't think,
I mean,
I think Kaepernick was
from
a little
fan
greedy.
Perspective,
Cap
can't
was a
be
little
mad.
Greedy to get paid. He was a little greedy to get paid. Plus, he choked his lunch up in the playoffs and was a little bit turnover prone. So he was just, they threw him a bone. He took it, and he effed the market up for all the guys kind of coming behind him that aren't world beaters.
Well, yeah, he messed the market up for, unless, now the guys that we have, that, you know, I'm going to name, unless they all have great seasons, you know, this upcoming season, they're going to be in this same boat. And those are guys, even a veteran like Alex Smith, because Alex Smith thinks that he should be breaking the bank, but people still calling him a game manager. Robert Griffin III, Cam Newton, even Nick Foles in Philly, like, they could all fall victim to this type of contract unless they go out this year and show that they are absolutely franchise quarterbacks. And that's a lot of pressure, you know, put on these guys by this whole Kaepernick deal, now this Andy Dalton deal. You asked the question. I never answered. I think at this point I would take Cam as well. I think a lot of other people thought that the whole 3 years, but at one point I thought Andy Dalton was a better quarterback. And I'm not even saying that Cam has shown. I would say if I think they're even right now, I still see Cam Newton's ceiling being higher. So I'd take him.
Yeah.
But I don't
and
really
I
think there's much
Cam
of
Newton
a difference between
Green,
Cam Newton.
Though.
Yeah, I don't think there's much of a difference between them right now, besides maybe the weapons
Newton
that they play
a
with.
Chance to play with A.J. Green. But with that being said, yo, NFL union is should be ashamed of themselves, man. Like, this is ridiculous. And I understand the risk you take in playing the game of football is different than most other sports, which is why, you know,
is your marquee
they don't
position.
Have the guarantee contract. And now these days with Paul George, you know, walking around like, you know, NBA is like, look, he got guaranteed money. So, you know, it's crazy. It's crazy. But
yeah.
These quarterbacks.
Because think about it, you can – in the NBA, you can snap your leg literally in half and then buy a Ferrari 2 days later. In the NFL, you'd be like, hell with that. Get the insurance policies together.
Listen, man, yeah. And also another thing, too, that's a lot of people like, you know, even though I do clown the contract to a certain extent, I mean, they're still going to get paid. I mean, they're still going to get
still
paid
bread.
More than average.
Yeah.
And I see a lot of broke people out here clowning them for getting them kind of, come on, man. Some of y'all are broker than Paul George's leg. Anyway, man, so that's my only thought on that, man. Are you guys ready for football, man? I know a lot of people get excited about the preseason. I'm not one of them.
Yeah.
How do you guys feel about the preseason, though?
Man, there's preseason games going on as we speak, and I don't give a damn. Seriously.
I'm going to be honest with you, though, right? Like,
and
Hard Knocks has started.
I'm just tired.
Hard Knocks has started, right? We do this for a living. I could care less about the preseason. I actually find Hard Knocks more entertaining than the preseason, man. Anyway, it's time to get out of here, everybody. Thanks for joining us again in the War Room, good people. Shout out to everybody in the chat room, those on Facebook, Twitter, all the callers who chimed in to holler at us. We definitely appreciate all the support. Special thanks to Fred Perdue for joining us to give us his ACC and SEC previews. Tune in next week, same time, same place, live right here or on demand on the War Room Sports Podcast Network for some more great fantasy football talk. So until then, enjoy your week. And we'll see you right back here. Be sure to catch our conversations on Facebook and Twitter, or our videos, warroomsportstv.com. And on Facebook, Twitter, as well as Instagram, we're at warroomsports. And don't forget, all of our shows from the network, WRSPN.com. Until next time, everybody, don't accept mediocrity and be steadfast in the war against ignorance. We'll see you chumps on top.
Know the blueprint.
Yo,
every Thursday, 6 to 8, they do this. Shout out to Dez, PJ, Be Austin, Doc Bay on replay. War Room Sports.com. Get that mobile app.
it's knocked out. Call it 3-2-3, flipping 0012. They be going and you sensitive, then oh well.
Yeah.
Physical podcast, the tough push. Showtime like magic in the block push. Listen live, push one to join in. Rip your team or listen for your enjoyment. Hip-hop dollars, pit stop and knowledge. Should be in sports credits, I ain't talking college. Five guys, no beef though. Corporate secret, but the streets know. Belafonte, I got a G-flow. KC, royalty, I'm in beast mode. 2 hours, get your game up. Who's the best in sports cast? You better name us. War Room Sports. Yeah. You know?
War Room Sports, www.warroomsports.com. What? Ain't no more to it.